Here comes the biggest asshole raptor the whole world's ever seen.
Welcome to the Clary Podcast, a division of Aaron Clary, LLC. Brought to you by AssholeConsulting.com. Aaron Clary, Chairman and CEO. And now, your host, Captain Capitalism himself, the world's only professional asshole, Aaron Clary.
Welcome to the Clary Podcast. See, I'm afraid I can't hit record right away, because you never know how these Silicon Valley morons... It's going to be a curse-free podcast, by the way. At least we're going to try it that way. And I don't have that much battery power left, but I got a little bit of spare time. I decided today I was going to spend the time with the girlfriend. Sometimes I'll go to work with her. If I stay up too late and my sleep schedule gets whacked, I'm like one of you normies out there that wakes up at 7 a.m. every morning. I got nothing else going on. I'll go hang out with my girlfriend. And then I'm reminded of why I don't go hang out with my girlfriend while she's at work, because she's at work. It's... Can't just sit there. Look like a sad, pathetic puppy dog when I sit across. Like, I go in, like, every... It's a weird... It's a... What would you call it? Your carthadiac rhythm? Circadian rhythm? You know, I used to have that. You get into the mode. Your brain... After a rote rehearsal for, like, a decade, your brain gets used. Okay, we wake up. We got to commute. Kind of half awake. Half the people drive worse than if they were legally intoxicated. A study came out and showed something like that. And then your body, your brain is conditioned to sit at this place for 8 hours uninterrupted. Maybe you get a lunch break. Maybe you push through it. Well, my brain don't work like that no more. So like every, what seemed like an eternity for me, like doing an hour, I'll go run an errand, I'll go get something done. And I'll come back and sit and like, oh, how you doing? She's like, I'm working. It's like, oh, I suppose you are doing that at your job. And then I kind of like, all right, I'm going to go. Just that constantly changing of your environment so it's not as boring. At least with the job you're occupied. Mine are more task-oriented. Not to get into the difference of doing it. But yeah, you can do a job, you got 8 hours of work to do. Mine is more like tasks. We got to do this task. Got to do that task. And then it's like, okay, I did that task. I deserve a little treat. Let's go get a coffee. Let's go get a Rumplements. Let's stop and say hi to my girlfriend. Oh, you're still working? I suppose it is only 8:55 a.m. I guess you would be working still. I'm going to go lie down and take a nap. So, yeah, it's not. I got nowhere near the amount of work I wanted to get done today. I started to appreciate how I have my quote, office set up. And how everything's very streamlined. Wanted to do a podcast earlier today. Wanted to do Asshole Consulting. Couldn't. Because the I don't know, what do you call it, workout area, the commons area of this place. It's got Wi-Fi, but it's always occupied by some group of people or the other. And today, it was Fat Overweight Women Day today, apparently. So there was the coffee group in the morning. And these gals, they weren't middle-aged, they're old, but they're just yakking, squawking like a freaking wounded chicken. It's like, whoa. So I guess that never does change. Was that what it was back in the 60s and 70s? Because the women my age, they go, woo! 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 Take a baseball bat and shove it down the long way when their mouth is open. Sorry about your teeth there, sister. I'm not even in a bad mood. Just went for a run. Anyway. So, where was I going? Yeah, very ineffective. Oh, so I couldn't use the internet. Couldn't talk. Couldn't do a podcast. Couldn't do Asshole Consulting. Couldn't do any recording. Got in a real fall mood. I'm like, okay, what's left? So I got my motorcycle jacket. And just one of the few things I grant myself that's a bit vain is, but I hold myself to an honor system. If I go up on a particular motorcycle ride or I go to a particular place on my motorcycle, I drive there. I will get a patch to kind of remember it by. And I'm not like these guys who go out to Sturgis, they haul their bikes out, they've never been there, they order one online, they put it on the motor, they put the Harley Davidson. For all I know, these guys put like the Marine Corps badge on it. I'm like, no, I've got to do it in order to do it, or to get the patch. So I have Oatman, I have my Alaska patch, the Mexican flag, the U.S. flag, and the Canadian flag. And I got to get, I could get Sturgis, but I don't know, I guess it's just so overdone. Plus it doesn't mean anything anymore because every year 750,000 old farts go out there and do it. So it's not like, oh, wow, you drank Metamucil too? You might as well get a Metamucil patch if you get, you know, if you're going to get a Sturgis patch. If you're going to haul your bike out there or you're just going to get the Sturgis, get yourself a Metamucil patch. That's basically what it means now. The one I'm missing though, but that I've done is Beartooth Rally or Beartooth Pass. And then I wonder if Apache Trail has it. That was some technical riding. There were some moments of, whoa, one goof up here and we're dead. Big drop down, like a 1,000-foot drop, just whoosh, straight down. Maybe not 1,000, maybe 800. You got plenty of room to die. Ain't nobody getting up from that. You missed that turn, you are not getting up again. Your motorcycle, you and your motorcycle are beyond repair. Anyway, so I had all these patches, but the problem with my motorcycle jacket is, like a good boy, it's got armor. And the armor is woven into a mesh that holds it in place onto the inside of the exterior of the jacket. So the jacket looks normal, but underneath is all this armor and padding. So to put a patch on, because I'm starting to run out of areas, there's only a handful of places you can really put patches so people can see it. You got to remove the mesh, and then you got to remove the armor. And I knew this. I've had trouble with patches before, so I went to one tailor to get my Alaska patch put on, and it was like this 16-year-old Asian kid. You knew she didn't run the thing. She was just some spoiled, you know, her parents obviously came over from Vietnam or whatever to escape communism. They worked hard, and they spoiled her, so now she's a standard American spoiled little brat, and she says, where do you want it? I said, put it here, so she puts a mark on it. I go back to pick it up. She says, oh, it's ready. I go back to pick it up, and she had sewn through, I don't know what kind of needle she was using, but she's sewn through the jacket, the armor, the mesh, and made it go all the way through to the other side of the sleeve. So when I tried to put my hand in, it wouldn't go in. And I'm just like, what? Really? Really? Do you want us to send you back to Ho Chi Minh? You want to go see Uncle Kim Jong-un, huh? You want us to go back? Well, I'll send you back. So I knew this was going to be a problem. So I went to a different tailor. I walk in, and ironically, it was Asian girls again, but these were middle-aged ladies, and they had the accent, so I think, okay, you guys escaped communism, you know, good quality service, so, and I explained, okay, look, this, you gotta remove the armor, and this, and that, and that, and this. So she's honest with me, she says, I don't think this is gonna work, we'd have to get some type of different, you know, I could do this, but I can't do that. She says, I got an epoxy, let's see if that will work. And so I say, okay. So she's like, it's going to be a week, come back. And I say, all right, so I go back. And today I'm like, okay, I got nothing else to do. After the coffee ladies, it was the fat, overweight, let's make potholes in the floor yoga girls. So I'm like, I can't get that work done. So we'll run some errands. Drove over to the tailor's. Got the motorcycle jack. Looked great. She put on the Oatman one. I got myself a Snoopy where he's fighting the Red Baron. He's sitting on top of his doghouse. I thought that was pretty cool. So I got that one. And then I had the three flags, U.S., Mexico, and Canada. And the flags were glued on. She says she's going to use this epoxy. So I got there, pulled it, looked at it, pulled a little bit at the flags. They came right off. I'm like, did you even check this? Did you even bother to check? And I think all they used was super glue, honest to truth, which it's too brittle to work. So they say, okay, now I got another chore to do. Got another one. Here it is. Reminded me of the Wyoming 3. I'll explain it again if you didn't know about the Wyoming 3. When you're in Wyoming, you have to ask three times because they will botch it up at least twice. You cannot get anything done on the first try. And I think as America gets stupid and idiocracy starts to sink in, this Wyoming 3 is going to go nationwide. Wyoming will go up to the Wyoming 5 or 6, but the nation will, on average, you're going to have people try it three times. Minnesota, it looks like we're at, you know, 1 3/4, 2.5. And I've always wondered how much more efficient, how much more GDP growth, how much less debt to GDP, how much more increased of our tax base, how much more productive and rich would we all be if we just did it right the first freaking time? So by economic philosophy aside, it just ain't, because now I got to go and get this done again. It just takes up my time. I could have gone back to see if the fat ladies have left. They're not doing fat, overweight sow yoga. So I got to go to Homie Depot. So I go to Homie Depot because I know Gorilla Glue, that works. That stuff works. Because I don't have the stuff at a Gorilla Glue, glue bottle. I don't know, $5-6. Because I don't have the sewing skill, ability, or gear to do leather working. And so I went to the Homie Depot. Says must cure for an hour and a half. Okay. Put the Mexican patch on as a trial run. And it worked. It worked. So now I'm in a little bit better mood now. Because this is just the delay in my time. The fact that my precious life, my finite seconds are being costing me. They're being costed. They are being stolen. Not stolen. That implies some kind of malice on the part of people. People's ignorance are shortening my free life. My free time. That's what it boils down to. And it's like, just can't get this stuff done. The stuff, I bang out so much work. When I got my office, I got my system, and everything is 100% under my command and control. Get a ton of work done. Girlfriend gets back home by the end of the day. Things are caught up. Even got my workout in. Boom. Now I can relax. It's the stuff that's outside of your control. Same thing with the wood-burning stove. I don't know how this happened, but the cap blew off the top of the chimney. And you need that so, like, birds and things and rain and stuff doesn't get in your chimney. Or snow or ice. And I don't have a ladder tall enough to get up to the top of that to safely put it on. You'd think that there'd be plenty of contractors out here that would want to do a little bit of business. And I called, I swear, I contacted like 5 or 6 places and said, hey, I will make it worth your time. I got a small project. It's nothing but calling people nearby, like keeping it within a 10-mile radius of the WBL. They don't even get back to you to say no. It's like small project, da-da-da. Then my friend, well, you can't expect a roofer or a contract. I'm like, I wasn't calling Roach. I was just calling, like, you know, remodelers, people with ladders. You got to call a handyman. I'm like, all right, fine, I'll call a handyman. So I go through, look on Craigslist for handymen. Says in the description, we do roofs. Okay, here we go. Hey, I got this small project. You might be interested, or maybe not, but I'd certainly pay you your time and money. You know, so it is worth your time to come out here and do this 1 5-minute project with a really tall ladder. Oh, I can't work on roofs. It's like, there's the Wyoming 3. One down, 2 to go. Who's going to be next, Bob? It's Jessup. Jessup from Anoka writes, while I'm in my player's jacket, I can't go up there because who dang diggly dangs. Anoka is like kind of Wyoming. There's actually a town called Wyoming, Minnesota. I haven't spent enough time there. But Anoka, they kind of get the butt end joke of, you know, how can you tell there's a wedding going on in Anoka? Answer, everybody's wearing their good Polaris jacket. It's pretty funny if you're into snowmobiling, which half of the world probably isn't because you don't even know what a snowmobile is. Anyway, so I finally figured it out. I'm in a better mood. This chore, putting patches on a motorcycle, which doesn't make me any money, by the way. That took me, I think, 3 hours. It's going to take me 3 hours when it's all said and done. Meanwhile, I can do all the asshole consulting in one. I can do a podcast. I can do 2 podcasts in 3 hours, which will make me infinitely. I know. It isn't all about making money, Aaron. I know I'm not in it all about making money, but I am in it making money so I don't starve. I am in it to make the money quickly so I have a social life at the end. And this piddly crap when you rely on other people. That's what it was. Still haven't got somebody to put the cap on the roof. Because apparently nobody works on roofs anymore. I don't know how we get roofs. Maybe it's the Mexicans. They all fly in here. Nobody speaks a lick of English. There's one contractor, but you got to know the guy's name. He sends Pablo and Jose over. They do your roof. They leave at the, you know, under the dark of night. You don't know how you got a new roof. It's like Santa Claus. No. Santa Jose. The old jolly Saint Jose. He comes around and roofs or shingles your roofs. Roofs? Roofs? Yeah, okay, little Aaron Cleary. Cleary Pepito. We'll put the cap on you. Seriously, it's such a simple thing. It just twists in. Quarter-inch twist in. Plop in, twist. Can you open a vitamin bottle? If you can, that's all it is. Unless your name is Jessup and you're an Anoka. Hey, that's what I gotta do. I gotta call down to Wyzetta in Edina. Get the real rich, hoity-toity white collar. The Thaddeus McThaddeuses of the roofing world. Going out there wearing their pink polos and khakis. With the frickin' cardigan tied around the thing, perfectly coiffed hair. So, hey, Chaz, is that the nail gun? Could I borrow it? Perfect white gleaming teeth. See him doing a dance on top of the roofs of all the Edina places. You know, everything's just all sparkly clean. Because it's not good enough that you get the roofing done by, you know, St. Jose. There's got to be a show on top of it for the people in Edina. They got to have, like, Chaz McChaddiesons and his Thaddeus is three. They all got to dance with the nail guns perfectly tossing. I'm picturing a very, what's the place? Ordway? No, not Ordway. Broadway. I'm picturing a very Broadway type of show. Kind of a Broadway type of performance. Singing, tossing the shingles on. They all land perfect because these guys are all perfect. Instead of gas, their guns shoot out perfume. I don't know. So I got the motorcycle jacket. It's gonna look nice, and it's not as vain. I was thinking like, ah, is this kind of like all those morons in high school that got excited about their high school jacket, the Letterman's jacket? They got, God, they put anything on those jackets. I remember. Does anyone still have their jacket? Did you guys? Is that like a memory about like how much time you wasted in high school sports because you never made scholarship, never made it to college? I'm not talking you didn't go to college, but like you never made the team in college. These guys, they put a little sticker on their helmet every time they get a touchdown. At least with the athletes, there was some accomplishment. There was some effort that went into that. So that much I will grant you. But there were people, man almighty, I didn't know what the hell they did. A lot of marching band people, though, I did know. Maybe it was just my school. But there wasn't any of the original color of the jacket left. These jackets were so patched up. I don't know if they marched in this and you got a patch for this. Was that the origin of participation trophies? Was that like proto-participation trophies back in the 90s and the 80s? Like, oh, you did this. Here's a patch for your jacket. People get Letterman jacket anymore? I mean, is that a thing? Hang on, I got my phone here. We're on the mobile office waiting for the girlfriend to get out of her little freaking, what is it, spa treatment, manicure, pedicure. She's getting something done to her body. I don't know what the... Okay. Do kids have Letterman jackets? You guys remember the 80s where David Letterman, you could get a Letterman jacket? Did you remember that? Huh? Huh? Oh, those Woody people. Custom printed varsity jacket. Oh, is a varsity jacket? Class rings, Letterman jackets. A thing of the past. Hey, was I right? From Chippewa.com. Class rings, Letterman's jacket's a thing of the past. And then they show some old lady who obviously isn't in high school anymore. When Chippewa Falls High School principal Becky Davis ordered her first class ring in 1973, she was just following a trend. It was just understood that you would get a class ring in previous years, she said. Davis picked out a red stone set in a white gold frame. You know, when Jostens or Jolstons would always come in, and then you're one of the poor kids, you're like, I can't afford anywhere near that shit. Give me my free yearbook. It was 3.5 sizes too big to fit her boyfriend's finger, a symbol of their friendship, relationship. 39 years later, Davis is noticing a different trend where class rings are no longer status symbols and other traditional high school customs such as sporting Letterman jackets are rapidly becoming obsolete. Yeah? You think the old captain doesn't look at underage people? What? I don't know why I intuitively surmise that or predict. I just don't see him anymore. Different traditions change over time as the communities change, Davis said. We are bound to change with the times. 2 decades ago, as many as 65% of sophomores, the year students commonly buy class rings, purchased a class ring, said Dale Comro, a representative of the popular ring vendor Jostens, which serves schools in western Wisconsin. Comro said that number now hovers between 20 and 30%. Maybe these kids are getting smart. These kids, as much as I dislike the millennials, I think they're spoiled. They are rejecting what we learned how to get rid of our gag reflex for back in the 80s and 90s, and that was the materialism. That was consumer goods and brand names. Hang on. What's that background noise, Aaron? I'm just adjusting my nutsack. I'm podcasting from the Jeep. Maybe they're realizing this is stupid. Maybe they are realizing high school is stupid. It's been on the downtrend, he said. Davis thinks costs play a role in the declining interest in class rings, and she isn't the only one with that idea. The price tags on rings in today's economy, where dollars tend to be tighter, likely correlate with the decline in sales. Class ring is a really nice thing to have, but it's not a need to have. You know what? I think it's now. I think these kids, I think the millennials, the one smart thing they're doing is rejecting, they conform in other ways like hipsters, but they're rejecting consumerism or brand nameism or whatever. It isn't a necessity for students, Davis said. For families, it's something you can do without. Lexi Raleigh, a senior at McDonald, agreed that the rings are expensive and students tend to use yearbooks, T-shirts, and picture frames as keepsakes instead. Yes, thank you, computer. I know. I want to find these IT nerds. And I want to find out where they live. And I want to just knock on their door every day saying, the sun's about to go down. Just tell them things that are plainly obvious or things they don't need to know. Just knock on the door. The kid next door got a new bike. Just updating you. I thought you'd like to know. Just like you thought, you know, I'd like to know all this worthless shit I never asked for in my computers. I only know of one kid in my grade that has one. They, the students, think it's just gone out of style. McDonald Jr. Allison Eastad said she doesn't have a reason to wear one. Senior Sloan Berg added that she doesn't understand the point of it. These are all rings. I'm wondering about the jackets. Okay, here we go. Kathy Greenseth, Director of Public Relations for McDonald Schools. Why do we still spend so much on schools? I don't know. There's a Director of Public Relations for the frickin' schools. So the last student she remembers who wore a Letterman's jacket graduated in 2010. Nate Kalian, a 16-year-old student at Chippewa High School, attributed the decline to the customization of sporting apparel. Different sports have their own clothing that people wear instead of a Letterman jacket, like wind jackets. Andrew Kazmarek, sales associate at the Chippewa Valley Sporting Goods, said they usually sell between 10 to 20 Letterman jackets per year to students at Chippewa Falls High School, a handful to North, and generally none to Memorial. They're more expensive and not as available as other jackets with emblems. Despite the shifting trends, Davis is considering purchase a class ring. Father Toad and Koch 30, blah, blah, blah. Interesting. Hang on. Popularity is of Letterman's jackets waning at some high schools. More interested in the jacket. Unless this is just a repeat article. I just want to see if there's another article kind of confirming it's not just that school district. Yeah. Okay, here's a picture of a black kid. Why would you say that, Aaron? Because Chippewa High School, that's Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, I'm quite sure. And there's no black people out there. So here's, okay, I'm just predicting this guy lives a little bit closer to the city, not BFE, Wisconsin. Our high school letter jackets as popular as they were in 1997? Answer depends on what school you're talking about. I hardly see any athletes wearing lettermen's jackets now, said Nick Wold, who played quarterback and defensive back for Mariner High School in the 1990s. Wold now teaches at Monroe High School, where he coached football. He said he sees fewer athletes wearing letter jackets today than he did when he started teaching in 2003. They're going away. They're going away. Well, I'm proud of you little kids. You did good. Oh, geez. All right. You know what? We'll pick this up back in my office. I'm about to lose all my battery power. Okay, let's do some of our sponsors here. If you'd like to advertise on the podcast, we get about, I don't know, somewhere between 1,000 and 3,000 listeners. I have no idea because I don't know how the RSS feed or iTunes works, or does it count on Stitcher? I know on SoundCloud I get around, what, 1,100, 1,200? Whatever. Regardless, it's $100 a month to advertise on the Clary Internet Media Online Empire. So you get the YouTube and the thing and the that and the this, and you get the blog. That's what they're calling them nowadays, blog. Just give me an email, go to my website, figure it out. There's a contact. You could contact me through it. Don't contact me through Asshole Consulting. I'm going to try and keep that, like, separate from all the other stuff. I want to keep it Asshole Consulting. We have Chad Elkins. He has two services to offer. He has Chad Elkins, a Comprehensive Tax Guide for 2016. You can find that on Amazon.com. You can also go to my site, CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com. And click on his little banner there, and that'll take you to his Facebook page because he's looking for clients. So if you need an accountant, you need your taxes done, probably not this year. He's probably already swamped. You could go to my site and click on his banner there. You may also click on my Cafe Press site. You'll see a little banner on my blog as well if you want to buy the two or three things I have on there. It's just, it's such a small, piddly, probably not even worth my time, although it's kind of nice to have those things, I guess. I don't know, if you wanted a shirt or something, you can go there. If you want the podcast archive, episodes 1 through 100, let me know. You'll notice that on the SoundCloud or the RSS feed or wherever it is, the first 100 episodes are missing. That's because of storage concerns with the previous hoster. And I've basically got that backed up on my computer, and I could throw it all onto a thumb drive, send it to you. If you want a ton of episodes to listen to, just keep in mind it's like actually only the first 75 episodes, because episodes 1 through 25 have been lost. Don't tell me if you have them. I don't care if you have them. They're crap. Well, they are not crap, but the audio quality is marginal, so let's not worry about those. Then we have the League of Extraordinary Podcasters. We have the 405 Media, 405media.com. Silvio Canto, you can find him over at Canto Talk on blogtalkradio.com. Free Domain Radio, that's Stefan Molyneux's outfit. Look at me acting like I'm all on the same freaking page as he is. I don't even think the guy knows I exist. I'm just saying, I listened to his podcast, and he's always like, give me money! Oh, we don't have advertisers or sponsors! Even though he sounds nothing like that. But do we need your donations? Give us your donation! I'm like, nah, I'm not fucking NPR. Freaking NPR. I'm a capitalist. I don't understand why it just doesn't go that way. Why doesn't he? He's a capitalist. He's a minarchist. He understands the concept of making money and profit. I know he's a purist. He's a people. We have to bring philosophy to the masses. Yes, you do. And if you had yourself a little advertising revenue, it would help you out a lot as well. The Beckloff. You could geek out with the Beckloff over at his website. Go to the YouTube and just search Chris Beckloff. Black Brigade over at blackbrigade.org. You can check out our good friends, DT and the Man, and my good friend, Kerry Lutz, over at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Crush the Street with Kevin and crew. They are on YouTube. And Matthew over at Engineered Truth, also on YouTube. Wish you guys would just, I know, they're doing just fine, Clary. They don't need your help. They're all doing fine. Even though you'd like to have them have their, like, podcasts on an MP3. I know, we know. So I have that there. Go to glorioushat.com, where Glorious Carl sells his glorious hat. Go to glorioushat.com. Snowing outside of Minnesota today. April 8th, and it's snowing. You could still use it if you're in the northern 20 states. There's my sites, assholeconsulting.com. Contact me if you need some kind of advice, wisdom, guidance, or leadership that you're just not getting anywhere else. I will solve your problem. I won't solve your problems. You will solve your problems. You will pay me to advise you on how to solve your problems. I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it. If you don't like any of the sponsors I have, you can always go and purchase your online purchases through my Amazon affiliate program. Just go to my website, CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com. Look for the Amazon banner. Where is it? I don't see the banner. You're not looking hard enough. It is there. Look for an Amazon banner. Okay? It's there. All good. All bad. And the reason you do that first before you go to Amazon is because otherwise Amazon has no idea where you came from. So if you go to my blog first, you say, ah, it came from Cappy Cap. And then they give me a little bit of a commission. AcademicComposition.com, of course, our longtime sponsor, Alex, and his crackpot team of writers are more than happy to write your liberal arts papers for you. I wonder if he does high school. Do you do high school, Alex? Oh, I had an idea for Alex. What was it? Oh, shoot. What was that idea? Oh. And he could have diversified it, too. Oh, it'll come to me. I wrote it down somewhere. But if you don't want to do your homework and want somebody else to because your homework is stupid, go to academiccomposition.com. Have Alex do it. Do the Philippines by Matt Forney. He's got his book there. You can always go to mattforney.com. And check out his website. He has more than just that book. He's got other books as well. And then we have my two classes, the analysis evaluation of stocks offered online and stocks, bonds, investing. Oh my, you can find those by simply searching them. You can take them from any outfit, organization, community ed, nonprofit offering them, nonprofit, all for profit. It's all for profit. I don't do charity. So if you want to learn about investing in the stock market and the basics of retirement planning, go there.
Now, listen, man, I like the news. You guys like the news?
Okay, this really isn't news. This is, frankly, gossip, and rarely do I delve into this world. But this is about someone that I just loathe with all my heart, and that is our good friend Amy Schumer. How you doing, Schumer? The comedian, if you could call her that, and it's just, I want to put a smile on your face, guys, because you can't call her a comedian anymore. She has decided, like every other person over in Hollywood, that she is going to tell the rest of society how they should be, particularly when it comes to, geez, guess what topic it's about, guys and girls? Feminism. You know, we don't have enough freaking broads over there in Hollywood telling us what we should think about feminism and the rights of women and all that. So this comes from, do I really want to read it from us? There's got to be another place to go. AOL? Lancaster Online? MSN? CNN? We'll do it this way because they don't have all these little... Look at this. And CNN's got the 25 photo celebs who have been body shamed. Oh, shut up. We're going to go to Fox News. Sick and tired of listening to the whiners. Amy Schumer voiced her dismay at being featured in Glamour magazine's new Chick at Any Size. Or Chick. Chick. You keep lying to women, media people. Special edition, slamming her inclusion in a cover line that reads, "Women Who Inspire Us, Melissa McCarthy, Adele, Amy Schumer, and Ashley Graham." I think there's nothing wrong with being plus size. The train wreck star. Really? Are you playing audio over me when I didn't want you to? Fox News? Okay, I'm going to take a side trip here. Anytime you online websites, you media types, want to consult asshole consulting, here's a bit of free advice for you. Don't play audio and don't play video unless we freaking ask you to. Okay? This really made Fox News go down in my estimation. It's been going down a little bit. But anytime, or in the case of Breitbart, oh, what is it? Town Hall, National Review Online. You load it up with so much advertising and throw the pop-up ads that it makes your website unreadable. Just stop it. Put your ads in the corners. Maybe put a little link down below. But stop jamming it in our face like Amy Schumer jams her body of positive, fat acceptance, ugly, wrinkly ass in our face. Okay, just stop it. I think there's nothing wrong with being plus size, the train wreck star 34 wrote on Instagram. Beautiful, healthy women. Plus size is considered size 16 in America. I go between size 6 and size 8. You liar. Glamour Meg put me in their plus size only issue without asking or letting me know, and it doesn't feel right to me. Young girls seeing my body type think that she's plus size. What are your thoughts? Mine are not cool, Glamour. Not glamorous. A rep from Glamour told Page Six, first off, we love Amy and our readers do too, which is why we featured her on our cover of Glamour last year. The cover line on this special edition, which is aimed at women size 12 and up, simply says, women who inspire us. Yeah, but they're all fat. Okay, look. Not only is this great, but the thing I want to point out, but then we're going to get on to like kind of more real news. The thing I want to point out about this, here you got it, just the hypocrisy. Just the hypocrisy of these, you can't even call them Hollywood stars, but the leftists in general, particularly the feminists, you're all shoving your fat ass in our face. How many times have you guys seen Amy Schumer scantily clad? Like there's the one where she's posing naked but strategically so you don't see anything. And she's not sexy. She's just not. Or then her and Seth Rogen, two fat, ugly people, stripping down in that Budweiser commercial, showing off just how unglamorous, you know, average person's bodies are. All right. You have made a living, or have you at least made it a vendetta of yours there, Ms. Schumer, to shove your ugly fat ass in everybody's face and shame people for not liking fat people. That's it, or not being attracted to it, right? For somehow having you have mocked and ridiculed, you have gone on a crusade to, not undermine, but basically to lecture everybody for liking what they find attractive. You're lecturing everybody for finding what they find sexy, sexy, right? And you have put yourself in this unelected position of priest, proselytizer, and you're going to lecture us about our personal choices on what we do and do not find attractive. And then, but then, when all of a sudden you're put in a plus size episode or issue of a magazine, you get all mad. Come on. I thought you were body positive. I thought you were Amy Schumer. You are large and in charge, girl, and you're going to shove it in our face. But then when someone actually says, oh, yeah, you're plus size, you get all pissed off. It actually makes me happy because it's still what this proves is no matter how much they scream at the top of their lungs that you know they're body positive, that they're fat acceptance, that they could do slut walks. I'm focusing on the feminists and all that, but we could say this about the left as well. That you know they're proud about this about themselves. They're proud that they're not that. They're proud that they're this, even though they're not real accomplishments or achievements. Is that deep down inside you're not. That deep down inside, if you still want to insult a leftist, if you still want to insult a feminist, you merely point out the truth about them. You're fat, Amy Schumer. You're fat. I mean, you're not maybe morbidly obese, but you ain't thin. You ain't hot. Maybe to some chubby chasers. Maybe to some very average 5s and 6s guys out there who are desperate and horny. Maybe they do ya. But they ain't jerking off to you, Amy. Sorry to be so crass. And that's going to irk her. She won't hear this, of course. But be happy. I mean, the good news, again, whatever happens on Glamour, whatever happens in the world of Amy Schumer is not meant for us. It's meant for, obviously, women who read Glamour, and she responds very well with that particular audience. It's to lie to those people. But when she delves into our world and starts lecturing us and pointing her fingers at us, and we see this happen where she's all pissed off that she was actually called out on it, saying, oh, yeah, you're actually fat. They hate it. Deep down, they hate themselves. They can only lie to themselves. But it's good news because for us, it shows that they don't even believe their own BS. The single mom who thinks she's heroic. It's like, no, you're not. You're a government welfare dependent bum who slept with the wrong guys and were too stupid enough to get an abortion. You brought illegitimate kids into the world that you can't support. And deep down inside, they want to get angry. Like, again, here's the classic example. You come up to me and you say, Aaron, you're a fat, stupid moron. I'm not going to get angry. I wouldn't get upset. Why? Because it's not true. If you want to get people angry, point out the truth about them. truths they don't like about themselves. And then, oh, they go into, and then again, they go through the hugest mental acrobatics to explain why you're the one that's wrong and they're fine just the way they are. It wouldn't bother them if they were truly comfortable in their own skin. And if you went up to Amy Schumer, you said, yeah, you're fat. And like Glamour did this and Amy Schumer found out. She says, yeah, you know, body positive. Like I've been saying, I've been for the past 4 or 5 years. But it does bother her. It does irk her. You go up to an English major, a women's studies major, you see, you know, you're just majoring in that because it's easy. You're not going to find a job. Going up to a guy, I'm a male feminist. You say, hey, look, you know, you agreeing with them ain't going to get you laid no matter how much you want to agree with them. When they turn into screaming monkeys, when they turn into wild animals, you have hit it right on the head. But if you go up to a guy, I'm trying to think of something. Let's say, I don't hang out with that many flawed people. I really don't. Let's say I went up to, who do we know that's, okay, take Stefan Molyneux again. Let's say I went up to Stefan Molyneux. I said, oh yeah, Baldy? Do you think he's going to get all angry? Do you think he's going to get pissed off? Stefan Molyneux knows he's bald. He's mature. And it's the intellectual honesty to accept, yep, I'm bald. He's not going to lose a second of sleep over it. His heart rate isn't going to even go up a beat per minute. He's just going to be, well, yeah, what's your point? I am bald. Well, you come up to me and say, oh, you're short. I'm like, yeah, I'm short. I don't get angry about being short. I'm secure in being who I am. I'm secure in my own shell. Stefan Molyneux is. Most of you guys are. But these leftists are not. You put a mirror in their face, oh, they do not like what they see. And this is just the latest example of, and plus because I hate her so much, I just love it. It's a lesson we can all learn from Amy Schumer. I mean, she'll come in and out, don't worry. She'll keep providing us these great little lessons and bits of empirical evidence that, you know, leftists are not only hypocrites, but they're miserable people. And I'm not saying that to make us feel better. I'm saying it because it's true. How happy do you think this gal is? How happy? Doing her like comedy. I'm sure the career's going well. I'm sure in that particular capacity she's happy. But, I mean, is she even married? Not to say that that is the end-all, be-all happiness. I just want to see if there are other people in her life. I wonder if she's even got kids. Because, you know, humans are the most important thing in life. I want to know. She ain't getting younger. She's 34. That wall is approaching. Is this where is she a career woman? Everything's great about her career? Early life, personal life. All right, let's go. Schumer has dated professional wrestler Nick Nemeth, a.k.a. Dolph Ziggler, as well as comedian Anthony Jeselnik. She indicated in 2016 she was dating a Chicago furniture designer, Ben Hanisch. So she doesn't have any kids. She's kind of dating. Her early life. I've already gone through her early life because I think somebody wanted me to do a Clary test on her. Bartender and a waitress. Well, at least she worked like a real job. There's no people in her life. It's actually kind of sad. Go to her Wikipedia page. You go to personal life. It's one sentence or two sentences that I just read about who she was dating or rumored to be dating. There's no married. There's no kids. There's no, oh, there she is on Miss Magazine. Don't tell me you're not shoving it in our face, Amy. Please don't. But there you go. I mean, what do you do? Seriously, what do you do? I talked about this before. About my buddy, my jazz musician buddy, Chico. Who else was it? Bill Burr has touched on this a little bit. Compare and contrast, okay? You go out, you do your performance. You're in front of everybody. You're on a high. Me teaching my dance classes was another parallel. And then also, you're surrounded by 50 people. In the case of some of these people, thousands of people. And then it's over, and then you go home. You go back to your hotel room. Or a friend of my buddy Chico, you went to Perkins because everybody else was married or had to go home or too tired. You're by yourself. Now, Bill Burr is married. He's got the lovely Nina. He's been dating her for a while. He also has a great network of friends. He goes out with his buddies. They go on tour together. So he's a happy guy. He goes, has fun. I would always typically maybe go dancing or go hang out with whatever friends. And then, now it's coming back to the girlfriend. But you know, who does she go back to? Where's the family? Is this it? That's it. It's the stand-up routine. It's playing jazz. It's teaching dance. That's all it is. There's no human interaction. Again, I don't say it to make... I gotta close this. She's so ugly. Oh, she angers me. I don't say it to make us feel better. Tonight, when you guys go home, there's your wife, there's your husband, there's your kids, there's your boyfriend, there's your girlfriend. Then, or you go to the bar, there's your friends, you're having wings. Hell, you go on the internet and hang out with your buddies and have an interesting conversation. Whatever it is, you got more of a real life than Amy Schumer likely has because you got people in your life that you love and care about. Oh, but she got interviewed with Miss Magazine. Oh, hot diggity. All right, what else we got here? Hang on.
Now listen, man, I like the news. You guys like the news?
From Breitbart, which I'm starting to become more and more suspicious of all the sources of news, even those on the right. Because everyone likes to quote the Daily Mail or the Daily Telegraph, but one of these days I'll get around to it. It's just, it takes time. It basically means if I got to do one of these, like I actually have to do some kind of, quote, investigative journalism instead of just merely editorial and me yelling and screaming and ranting, it's going to mean like three less posts. God dang, asshole consulting's taking up time. In a good way. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, there's only 24 hours in a day. 10,000 millionaires have left France due to fears over Islam, racial divides, crime, and immigration. An astonishing 10,000 millionaires left France in 2015 thanks to rising social tensions caused by Islamic immigration and terrorism. But while Britain... Well, this is before the... When was the France attacks? Were they already on their way out? Paris attacks. I'm sure there's been, like, shall we say, microaggressions? November 13th. All right, so people are already on their way out because the Paris attack happened pretty much at the end of 2015. See, which is one of the reasons I was kind of suspicious about this. Oh, did I delete? Oh, no, here it is in my hand. I thought I was reading it on the screen. So this is one of the things that's concerning me and why I am going to start doing this investigation and take a look. They always paint it as a narrative. The Economist in me looks at this, just the title, says 10,000 millionaires have left France due to fears over Islam, racial divides, crime, and immigration. I'm like, really? Did you survey these guys? How do you know it's about that? I would say it's more probably the taxes. Remember Hollanda? Hollandaise sauce over there? The socialists saying we're going to implement a 75% tax rate. And then one of their celebrities says, screw it, I'm moving to Russia. And he moved to Russia. That's probably more what it is. But Breitbart's got an agenda. They got a narrative. Again, while I'm kind of questioning Fox News. All I want is the truth, guys. It's all I want is the truth. I don't want you spin. I don't want this. I want you to go to original sources and figure it out. I know some of it may be. And I'll go into the article a little bit more. But right off the bat, I'm reading it because it's further proof of what I predicted was going to happen in capital flight and an interesting lesson in economics. But the second thing is it's bias in the media. You can't call it media. It's bias in hack journalism. While Britain has been warned to expect a similar exodus should racial tensions also rise here, the possibility of Britain leaving the European Union is more likely to keep millionaires within our shores. Whatever you got to tell yourselves. Overall, last year, France lost approximately 3% of its total number of millionaires. Wow. While its capital, Paris, lost about 6% of its millionaires. Dude, you prorate that over the course of a decade. That is going to have huge complications for your finances, especially Paris. That amounts to the same 7,000 people from Paris alone, mostly to the UK, the US, Canada, Australia, and Israel, according to a report by New World Wealth, an agency which compiles data on the global wealth sector. The large outflow of millionaires from France is notable, France is being heavily impacted by rising religious tensions between Christians and Muslims, especially in urban areas. We expect that millionaire migration away from France will accelerate over the next decade as these tensions escalate, the report warns. did it cut off? Second largest outflow of millionaires last year. The authors found load. Did this print off right? No, it didn't print off right. Really? Breitbart, you can't get it so we can print this off. Australia was the largest recipient of new millionaires, with some 8,000 coming to settle within their shores. Well, that's mostly due to China. America picked up a certain thousand number of millionaires, followed by Canada, Israel, and all that. London saw a net inflow of around 500 millionaires, although many of the 2,500 who left the city moved to other parts of England rather than leaving the country altogether. They were saying that a lot of this also has to do with Jews heading off to Israel, millionaire Jews in France taking off saying, screw this, we're out of here. But the point still remains, look, you raise your taxes to 75%. This is what will happen with Bernie. This will happen with Bernie. Hang on, let me check something. Let's take a look at if France can afford this. I know deficits don't matter to you leftists, but just humor my stupid economist brain. Let's look at France deficit to GDP. Let's see if they can afford this. France government debt to GDP, France government budget deficit. Give me a second. Oh, here it is. In 2014, it was 4%. The deficit was 4% to GDP. Let's see what it is 2015. Oh, the news. France confident. France is confident it will meet its goals. You guys are always confident. Bulgaria, France ends Fed deficit versus France deficit remains in decline after a lower than expected shortfall of 3.5% GDP. Look at the media. It falls. It drops to 3.5. It's still a deficit. Look, I'll explain deficits again. It's like you have cancer and the doc comes back. You say, how am I, doc? He says, great news. You're like, what is it? The cancer is spreading less quickly. You're like, well, it's spreading. It's still spreading? Yes, but it's spreading less quickly now. You go to the dietitian. Good news! What's the good news about my wife, doc? She's gaining weight less slowly. So she's still getting fat? Yes, but a slower rate. You mean, it just... Why question the media, ladies and gentlemen? Why question? The short answer is no, France can't afford to lose this. You lose 3% of your millionaires every year, and you have progressive tax rates. Hang on, what's France's tax rates? France's tax brackets. We should look. Taxation in France. Income tax of France. French income tax rates. Good Lord. Above 151,000 pounds, you pay 45%. And that's just the federal, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's just the federal. Zero up to 9,000 euros. 14, 30, 41. So if you make 71,800 euros, you pay 41% of your income to, well, not total. That's the marginal tax bracket. And then above... It's 45%, above 151,000 euros, you pay 45%. So ever so roughly, you're losing half your tax income. Okay, number of parts, contribution. Yeah, you're losing, when these guys go, when these millionaires go, you're losing half of their income. Do you leftists ever look at numbers, or is it just... Me wants. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And you never think about the Laffer curve. You never think about the consequences. I mean, wasn't Soviet Russia enough? Wasn't North versus South Korea enough? Wasn't East versus West Germany enough?
Do you guys get it? Do you understand that most of you guys, most of your constituents are parasitic and you depend on other people forking over part of their time, enslaving part of their lives to work for you? And that if you take too much, they will simply go away. And then you hate on them on top of it. Instead of being grateful, instead of saying, yo, geez, thanks for paying 45% of your time. You know, thanks for working January through almost June to pay for me and my illegitimate rat bastard migrant children. You ever get a thank you note? Has any of you rich guys gotten thank you letters from the poor people you've been feeding and keeping alive? Huh? Or have you just been called a racist? Or you just been called, you're a fat cat, you haven't been paying your fair share, all that other crap. Oh, it's called capital flight, and it's a feature, not a bug, of socialism. All right, another one. This, from our Phoenix agent in the field. It's written by Aaron Stepp, manager, AAA Public Relations. Orlando, Florida. Due to declines in gas prices and finance charges, the annual cost to own and operate a vehicle has fallen, okay? This is good news, guys. You see, already in the first sentence, she's setting us up for good news. The cost of owning a vehicle has fallen. Go ahead, guess. I'll give you a couple minutes. Go ahead, guess. Get a second. I'm going to go get a soda water. You guys guess what the annual cost of owning and operating a vehicle has been. I'm going to go get a soda water. You think about it.
Hey, Boo-Boo Boy. Go get some picnic baskets.
Go ahead, keep guessing. Just gonna pull off the thing here. Oh, I got burgers in here. Oh, that's right, grilled them. I forgot. Cappy's gonna eat good tonight. Can you guess? Okay, good. Got your votes in? Has fallen to $8,698, a nearly 2% drop from last year, according to AAA's 2015 Your Driving Cost Study. This research examines the cost of fuel, maintenance, tires, insurance, license and registration fees, taxes, depreciation, and finance charges associated with driving a typical sedan 15,000 miles annually. What's typical? See, that's what scares me. Is this a new car? Your typical sedan costs you $8,000, let's just say $9,000, $9,000 annually to own and operate. I've never spent $9,000 on a vehicle, period. Ever. I spent $500 on one. What did I know? I think I spent $200 on my first car. 1978. Cutlass Supreme. Oh, it was a piece of shit. It was great. Drove the thing to Milwaukee and back. It was wonderful. In the United States, a driver can expect to spend 58 cents for each mile driven, nearly $7,250 per month, to cover the fixed and variable costs associated with owning and operating a car in 2015. And they break it down on here. So they got like 15,000 miles, and they got small sedan, medium sedan, large sedan, sedan, average, minivan, then SUV, four-wheel drive. So what are the soccer moms costing the rich husbands? $10,600 for the SUV. A minivan is $9,000. A large sedan is $10,000. Medium sedan, $9,000. Holy cow. And here they are breaking it down by cost. Okay, so fuel. For those of you who commute, because you have to live in the suburbs. I just love the house, honey. Honey, I need a three-car garage, a five-bedroom, three-and-a-half-bathroom full house. I watch the Property Brothers. I watch Love It or List It. Flip or flop. I need a $500,000 McMansion 63 miles away from your office downtown, and you're going to provide for me. You want me to be happy, don't you? I keep forgetting you guys commute. Hey, they commute. No, look over here. They commute. No, they all do. No, not that one or that. All of them. They all do.
Yeah. No, I'm not joking. No. Well, I don't know why. You got me. Go ask them. Ask all the, you know, it'd be very easy. Yeah, yeah, we'll just go down to the highway, like at 7:30 a.m. Yeah. Well, they're not going anywhere. We can walk right on the highway. Sure. Yeah. You get the camera. I'll get the microphone. We'll record it to the MP3 player. Yeah, well, we'll just walk right down there. Well, I don't think the cops... How are the cops going to arrest us? They can't even move in the traffic. The traffic isn't moving. The cop would have to run. All that gear and shit on. How would he catch up to us? All right, we'll bring in Mikey. Okay, Mike will look out for the cops. I'll bring the recording. I'll do the interviewing. You film them. And then we'll ask them why they do that. I bet you it is that wife of the suburbs. Yeah, because she needs a 3-car garage. That's right. That's... Oh, okay, so fuel, which was down 13.77%. That's $1,700 a year. Finance charges, $700 a year. Oh, that's right. Hey, Mikey, guess what else they do? No, they don't pay cash for their cars. No, I know. Oh, I don't know. Maybe we should ask them. Look, you grab the camcorder. I'll go grab... depreciation. Well, see, I wonder about this. Now, why would you have depreciation? That's a non-cash expense. Are you amortizing these costs? I guess you would. That's how they do it. Okay, yeah, that's what they're doing. Yeah, you would include depreciation because you are you pay cash up front, but you got to... Okay, insurance. What? $1,500 a year. That's right, because you guys have nice cars. And you don't buy pieces of shit. I'm not talking to my listenership. I know it's you guys. I'm just pointing out all the what the average American idiot does. That's right, because you guys have to have nice cars because you think that's going to increase your chances of sex in the case of men, or attracting a rich man in the case of women, or bragging rights. Why do you girls get nice cars? I'm kind of wondering about that. We know why guys get nice cars, because we stupidly think that women are going to like us more. And unless you get like an S-Class or a Ferrari or something, or a brand new Corvette, it ain't really going to work. But why do girls get like, I need this. Is it so nice? Is it nice? Does it have heated seats? And then you got to pay the insurance on top of it. What do I pay insurance for? Hang on. Okay, I pay $500 a month. And that does not, that's just liability. But then again, I barely drive the thing anywhere. So my gas expense is nowhere near $1,700 a year. Unless I go on road trips. Probably, but if you take out road trips and tours, like just me putzing around, shoot, I'd have barely got 2 oil changes last year in my standard car. Depreciation, insurance, maintenance, $800 a year. Well, that's because you guys can't fix your cars because you all majored in English and women's studies and sociology and history. Become a teacher. License registration. All right. Well, that's kind of... Well, no, that's not out of your control. I remember that because usually you pay a percentage of what you paid for the car. So with all you idiots going and borrowing money to go buy a car you can't afford, because if you can't pay cash, then you can't afford the car. Then you got to pay more in insurance, and then you pay a percentage of the sales tax for license and registration. Tires. Really, you got to put tires in there. Shopping for a vehicle. Smaller isn't always cheaper. AAA has published your driving cost since 1950. That year, driving a car 10,000 miles per year cost 9 cents per mile, and gasoline sold for 27 cents per gallon. Your driving cost study employs a proprietary, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm just shocked. It's a testament to Americans. It's the vanity, you need brand name, you're all worried about flash, you ain't got no cash. $9,000 a year for the average ownership, and that's per year. See, what was the fanciest, what did I drop? Was it $5,000? Yeah, let's use my truck. I paid $4,500 for my truck, okay, which has lasted me, I think, 5 years now. That's the one-time expense. The one-time expense.
Let me do some math here. I'm going to pull up the Excel spreadsheet. I'm just saying, if anybody wants to learn about finance and saving money and, you know, where's the money? Where'd the money go? Oh, I can't save money for retirement. Let's say in 4,500. All right, let's do that. Divided by 5. So that's 900 in depreciation. Gosh almighty. I don't even know. It's just maybe my annual maintenance is around 1,500. And I got a decent vehicle. It gets me to point A and B. Understood. I'm not out there commuting. I got that. I know. My wife didn't want me to go live out in the suburbs. You want to know why? I said the magic word. No. I know. You boys, you engineers who finally got to taste that little bit of a girl. Trying to keep it real clean. You finally kissed the lips. You finally lost your virginity. That girl with all her student loan debt, you know, she wanted to have the kids in the house of the suburbs with the SUV. I know you guys have to commute that 60 miles. But if you learn the magic word called no, you would not commute the 60 miles. One way, by the way, to work. One way. It almost makes it, now that the metro areas are getting so big and our vanity is to the point. I was talking to my buddy, my Jewish buddy, who runs her Jew cream outfit. She was kicking around selling her house because she's got, it's her and her daughter. They don't need this big ass house out in the EP. And so I said, what are you going to scale down or whatever you do? She's like, yeah, but I may want to hold on to the house. I said, why? What do you possibly have? This is a big house. When you were a family, a nuclear family, it might have made sense, especially if you had another kid. But this is like, shoot, she's got two rooms that ain't got no furniture in them. I said, what do you need this for? Really, what, you know, why don't you sell? She says, well, if I try and sell it, the market's kind of depressed. I say, what are you talking about? Housing prices have recovered pretty well since 2009. She's like, yeah, but everybody now, and I'm like, oh gosh, here it comes. Because she's in a different world than I am. She's in cutesy little suburbanite land, and I'm kind of over in my own little Clary world with my fingers in my ears, completely clueless as to what the Joneses are doing and what Swipple America is up to. Well, anyway, Swipple America, they will not buy houses. You get a severe discount penalty if you only have a two-car garage. And what people want now, what is being built standard now, is three-plus car garages. I said, three-plus cars. I said, for what? The wife has one. The husband has one. Until the kid turns like 16, like, you know, have him get some kind of jalopy or borrow one of yours. Like, oh no, little Jimmy needs his own car and he needs to have it parked inside. I'm like, so you're telling me people are looking for houses now before they have any kids, 16 years down the road, saying we need a garage for little Jimmy. They don't think about what that does to the cost per square foot of the house. They don't think about how much more interest they got to pay when that thing isn't being used for 16 years. And then when little Jimmy comes in, how long is little Jimmy there? How long is that third car, that third garage necessary? Little Jimmy is there for what? 2 years? What about little Abitha or Agatha? Are they going to share the car? Do you need a fourth garage? Some of them actually are saying they do. But for how long? If you only have one kid, Jimmy's only going to be there for 2 years, maybe three. So you have paid all this interest, all this mortgage costs, all these property taxes as well, by the way, for a third garage that's going to be maybe used by little Jimmy from the ages of 16 to 18 for those 2 years. I mean, look, I'm hard on minorities. I'm hard on immigrants because I actually want to hold you guys up to the standards of Americans. I want to hold you up to the standards of white people so you have white standards of living. But by God, this Swipple freaking BS that goes out there with this. And these aren't independent Americans, mind you. These are the types that had their McMansions. They're up to their freaking necks in debt. The wife doesn't know the difference between debt or equity spending. The husband, he's barely getting by. He's got to compete with the Joneses. And then they all file for bankruptcy and they draw all dread. They become parasites just the same. They get bailed out by the TARP money. Okay? But it's just a different world. Just a different world. And so now, at least in Minnesota, the houses that are being built, and we're not talking near the city no more. They're out in the exurbs. This is where the houses are being built, right up against the farmland the farmer Joe has yet to sell. And they ain't, well, hang on, what is it? 40 miles at least? Where's Cochrane? Cochrane is a town. They have Cochrane days. That's where I used to drive out to Rockford to teach dance classes, and that's where they were building. I'm like, how the heck are you guys building? Cochrane, Minnesota to Minneapolis. How long of a drive is this? 22 miles? That's it? You got to be kidding me. Okay. Well, maybe it's not that far. Hang on, let me click on a map. It's a little closer. Where do we go? Hang on. Burnsville. Okay, Lakeville. Forest Lake. Yeah, Monticello. Okay, there we go. Corcoran was kind of in a little niche there. Let's take a look at Monticello. That's where the new houses are. Monticello, Minnesota. Minneapolis, Minnesota. How far is that? 38 miles. Okay, let me try Carver. There's another development out there. Carver. 30 miles. Wisconsin's got something. What's the name of that town? Not Hudson. It's even past Roberts. Roberts. We'll have that go to St. Paul. Roberts, Wisconsin. Roberts to St. Paul, Minnesota. 32. So you're doing a 60, maybe 70-mile round commute every day. And this is, that's straight. That's like 32 minutes without traffic. You easily double it. 2 hours a day, guys. 2 hours a day wasted. You think maybe that drives up the cost of your car a little bit? Maybe? Maybe gas, maintenance, oil change, just a little bit? But you know what? Wifey's happy, and that's all that matters. You got that triple car garage. So little Jimmy could live in Wisconsin. Seriously, they're building homes in Wisconsin, which actually kind of makes sense because it's cheaper out there, and they serve booze on Sundays. The bars in Minnesota serve booze, but the liquor stores aren't open in Minnesota on Sundays. Plus, we got some other old holdover law, like you can't sell a car on Sunday. Minnesota's just set up by a bunch of stupid Scandinavian Norwegian idiots. Well, we have to worship the Lord our God. It's we're Lutherans. Blah. And instead of like when diversity comes in and people are like, dude, why are, you know, the non-Scandinavian Nordic socialists come in, they say, why can't we sell a car on Sundays? No, and why can't we buy booze on Sundays? No, we hold over the really stupid laws and then we adopt and take in all the other culture's worthless crap. You know, oh yeah, rape days, wonderful, hooray. Welfare days, well, I guess they were already welfare recipients since we were primarily settled by a bunch of Scandinavian socialists anyway. All right, let's take a look at our sponsors here. Pushing Rubber Downhill by Adam Pingitt. He has a book out, Pushing Rubber Downhill. It's in audio, Kindle, and paperback. Also, he has a blog called Pushing Rubber Downhill, so go ahead and check in with our good buddy Adam. Welcome to the Divide by SP Daily. Please go buy that book. That book is really good, really a mind bender. It just pains me to see it. Like, this guy put so much effort into it, and the quality came out, and like, it's 1.5 millionth place. It's just, it shouldn't be there, guys. It really shouldn't. So if you're looking for something very cerebral and philosophical, please let me recommend that book. The Black Man's Guide to Poverty, written by me. Help out our black brothers out there. Bachelor Pad Economics, written by me, to help out all brothers out there. Worthless, that's to help everybody out there. Enjoy the Decline. Behind the Housing Crash. We have Captain Capitalism Top Shelf and Captain Capitalism Reserved. Those are the best of blogs. And I will be coming out relatively soon with Cappy Quarterly. Got ourselves a model, nice, pretty lady. More importantly, she's, like, responsible. Like, she actually gets back to you on time. That's the problem with dealing with good-looking girls. You know, like, okay, it'll cost this much for me to model. It's like, okay, How about 50-50? We're going to do this the mafioso dealer way. You know, you get 50 up now and then 50 upon completion. Because these girls will not get back to you. And it's not because they're trying to steal money from you. They just have had society kissing their asses for so long that it doesn't dawn on them to be honorable, to have honor, to have integrity, to have a work ethic, and do simply what they said they're going to do. So I'm very wary, weary, reluctant, distrustful when it comes to finding these models. So if any of you guys know a reliable woman that wants to model, I'm going to aim to do it quarterly. That's if stuff doesn't get in the way, which it will. Don't worry about it. But we're gonna make the best ofs a lot prettier and a lot more. Not too many buy them. I understand. I tell you guys not to buy them unless you really, really want to buy them, because it's merely to back stuff up. I just want to back things up like classy, instead of like having a tome like Reserved came out to be. Anyway, all my books are available Kindle and paperback, and then Bachelor Pad Economics. I upload the video or the audio. That should hopefully be available in Audible or audiobook in 9 to 12 days. Worthless is already in Audible. And then Curse of the High IQ, that is going to be available in audio within 6 months, I guess. I'm going to convert that to audio too. Also, check out our resident cartoonist, Chris Muir, over at Day by Day Cartoon. Sylvia Canto also has a book, Cubanos in Wisconsin. David Cerini's As I Walk These Broken Roads. Nix's Guide to the Multiverse, written by Marty Andrade. And then Ann Sturzinger. Please go to annsturzinger.com. She has many books as well. So she has her blog, but she has plenty of books up there. Go ahead and take a look at that. And she's all serious and everything. She's like looking for an actual... What do they call them? What were those guys called back in the day before the internet destroyed all of them? I don't know, Bill. What was it? Oh, publishers. That's right. Remember record labels? Oh, you baby boomer industries. And then Tap Whiskey, T-A-P, whiskey, spelled without the E.com, tapwhiskey.com. That's Rollo Tomasi's little side venture there. So those are all our sponsors there today. So anyway, do me a favor. Go vote the podcast up on the iTunes. Go recommend things to family, friends. Follow me on the Facebook. Follow me on the Twitter. Men, go check your nuts. Also check for the ass cancer. And yeah, just spread the good word about the blog and the online media internet empire. And then go fidget with your nuts so that you're around longer to appreciate the online internet media empire, so you don't die of the ass or the testes cancer. All right, we'll see you kids later. Toodles.